Hello and welcome to the Potential Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Jackson, and it's my mission to share the science of human behaviour in a practical, fun and inspiring way. In each podcast episode, I interview an expert from the fields of psychology, well-being, leadership, parenting or high performance. I pick their brain to uncover what they know about living well. What tips do they have for you and I? And I quiz them about how they apply their expertise in their own life. Join me as we discover simple, science-backed ways to live, learn, flourish, and fulfill your potential. Welcome to episode 15. We're doing something a little different for this episode. I'm in Sydney attending the 13th Happiness and Its Causes Conference, the world's largest conference on happiness and well-being. And I thought it might be fun if you joined me.
Well, it is well known that humans are a seriously weird biological technology. They are so soft and squishy. That makes them vulnerable and easy to damage. They also have complicated feelings and are sensitive. I know I have to be exceptionally gentle and careful when I am helping humans. I also need to respect their dignity and their rights. I try to be compassionate, but it is not easy.
That's Angelina, the interactive social robot who's using artificial intelligence to learn compassion for her human friends. She's trying to connect with humans because she knows that human connection and compassion are vital for happiness and well-being. And those two topics, connection and compassion, have been major themes for the conference, not just amongst the eminent speakers, but for myself and my fellow delegates.
I'm putting Susie Green on the spot here. Susie Green, who's our past podcast guest and wonderful positive psychologist, and she's here at the Happiness and Its Causes Conference. And I'm just wondering, what is it that you've learnt today? What's been the best thing about today?
Just how important it is to actually relax and enjoy the conference. And for me, I always see so many familiar faces. And for me, it really is all about the social part. I mean, I know a lot of the science, although there's been some new research. Roy Beaumeister's research that I thought really interesting. A bit academic, I would say, for the majority of the audience. I really love it. It's just a great opportunity to reconnect with people and to be open to the new, more nuanced research, I would say.
This is the second time I've attended Happiness and Its Causes. I came first in 2010 and I've been itching to get back ever since. But time and money and other commitments have got in the way. But this year I decided that I was going to worry less about time and money and other commitments and prioritise my need for connection. Connection with my colleagues and my Sydney-based friends, connection with learning, connection with new ideas, and connection with a bit of midwinter Sydney sunshine. And boy, am I glad that I did. To give you a flavour of the conference, there's over 1,500 delegates attending, and we're being inspired, educated and entertained by an impressive array of experts from psychology, education, the world of media and entertainment, the corporate world, and incredible individuals like domestic violence campaigner Rosie Batty, who's here sharing her personal story of connection and compassion with us. I'm here for the two-day conference, but there's a series of workshops on the days on either side covering topics like learning to learn, the life-changing science of sleep, how to face negativity with a positive mind, and mindfulness and compassion for effective leadership. There's also over 50 specialist exhibitors in a space that's called the Wellness Show, and I had a chat to Jenny from not-for-profit New Horizons, who are doing something very cool with virtual reality and a bold initiative to make the world's national parks accessible to everyone.
New Horizons are primarily, we work with people with mental health issues or disabilities. We provide them support to improve their well-being in whatever way, shape or form they need it. Essentially, that might be frontline work, so it could be helping you to improve your daily living skills. For some people, it might be as simple as helping you to go and have a coffee with your friends. So that's how we came up with the Parallel Parks virtual reality program, which is essentially how it began. Was a lot of people that we work with don't have the ability to be able to go and visit the national parks of Australia. If you're in a wheelchair, then it's very unlikely you're ever going to be able to dive the Barrier Reef, for example. So we thought, we were thinking, how do we make these parks more accessible to, you know, our customers and everybody across Australia? And we thought, oh, well, why not bring the parks to them? So that's what we've done through Parallel Parks.
And it's wonderful. I had a go at this. So you sit there on the seat and it's really quite simple. There's a sort of
Yeah, it's very simple. Yeah, very simple. You have a phone which has an app loaded onto it, and then you have the special headset, and you put that on, you choose which destination you want to go. So today we're doing Murray River and the Barrier Reef and Kangaroo Island, and then you just start your journey, and you can, it's 360 degrees, so you can kind of look up, you can look down, you can look around, and you immerse yourself as if you were genuinely there. Yeah. So you still get that experience without actually having to go there.
Yeah, and I had a go at this earlier, and being Victorian, I chose the Murray River as my destination.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and I really did feel like there was a noticeable drop in my heart rate as I sat there really on a watercraft on the middle of the Murray River. I was sailing down or floating down. It was very peaceful, very calming. And I really felt like there was a kind of a physiological benefit.
Yeah, well, I think there's been plenty of studies that have kind of shown that being close to nature helps with your mental and physical well-being. So obviously, if you're not able to go out and find that, then bringing it into your home is the next best thing.
Yeah, so the joy of technology being used to enhance everybody's well-being.
Yeah, exactly. And my personal favourite, I like the Great Barrier Reef because I'm a diver, so I feel at home with the fishes.
Yes.
So that's the one that
it's
I like to do. It is, yeah. So we're a not-for-profit, and part of what we're doing is fundraising. So we're hoping that some of the fundraising will help us to go out and film more 3D footage, which is expensive and specialist, help us to get more headsets, help us to get more phones, and to develop an app that we can upload to the likes of iTunes and Google Play and things like that to share with more people. And then eventually, you know, it would be accessible to people in aged care or people in respite homes or, you know, people who are in disability housing or hospitals and things like that, so that everybody has an opportunity to access all of that wonderful nature that's out in Australia.
Day one's kicked off with Dr. Kristen Neff, a pioneering researcher into self-compassion and a big draw card for me to the conference. And she explained to us how chasing self-esteem puts us on a treadmill of puffing ourselves up and comparing ourselves and competing with others just in order to feel good. While self-compassion allows us to relate to ourselves much more kindly and really embrace ourselves, flaws and all. Self-compassion is kind of the kinder, gentler path with far better outcomes for our mental health, happiness and well-being. I had a chat to fellow psychologist and conference delegate Natalie Kladnitsky about this and what the self-compassion path means to her as a self-proclaimed perfectionist.
I think for me today was all about finding out about different things we can do to feel more confident about ourselves, to be more compassionate with ourselves. And what's really standing out to me is that there are so many different strategies we can use or things we can learn. And there's not that one kind of unicorn thing to do to make us feel better about ourselves or to make us happier. It's all about sort of learning and trying new things and most importantly being really kind to ourselves. I think that was the theme of today's talks, is turning towards compassion, both self-compassion and being compassionate towards others.
What are you going to try yourself? Because I'm always interested to know how psychologists apply these things that we learn or that we know in our own lives. So is there one thing that you think you might actually have more of a go at or have a go at?
Yes, I think I will try and work on my self-compassion practice and being a little bit easy on myself. I set a lot of goals for myself, and there's a lot of things I want to do and achieve for my community, and sometimes that can lead me to being very strict with myself, so to set very strict goals and strict deadlines. And I think inviting a little bit of that self-compassion towards myself and knowing it's okay if I don't always get all my things done or if I don't always put out all the content I want to put out, that's okay. And instead of being harsh on myself or pushing myself harder and further, to just take a step back and realize we're all human, we're all trying our best, and just to send a little positivity toward myself first.
But it's not all serious stuff. Day two started with another of my favorite psychologists, Professor Richard Wiseman from the UK, who uses humor to get us thinking differently. When you get a minute, Google O Fortuna Misheard Lyrics to appreciate how what we pay attention to shapes what our brain hears and what we believe, and we get it pretty wrong sometimes. Professor Wiseman went on to talk to us about the psychology of luck and how our beliefs about how lucky we are actually directs our attention and shapes our luck in life. It seems we have a choice in how lucky we are. I'll put a link to a great video explaining Richard Wiseman's four simple principles for improving your luck in the show notes for this episode. And laughter was also a theme in Dr. Justin Coulson's presentation, 21 Days to a Happier Family. I had a chat to him afterwards.
As a preface, what I would say is that every family has struggles, and we see Instagram and we see people's highlights reels and we see what people are like in public, and when we catch up and they've done their house nicely and we think, oh, my family's not like that, but nobody's is all the time. So that's the first thing to remember. Families are meant to be like a roller coaster, up and down. If we want our families to really be happy though, there's so many things we could talk about, but I like to make things simple because I'm pretty simple. So I've got three L's that make family life worth living: love, limits, and laughter. If we can help our kids and our partner, our spouse, husband, wife, to feel love, and we usually do that best through giving time. If we can set effective limits and boundaries, and we do that by explaining what our expectations are, understanding what theirs are, and then working together for a collaborative solution, explain, explore, and empower. And if we can have laughter, lots of laughter, which so many families forget. You know, we're actually pretty good at the love stuff most of the time, and quite often we're even good at the limit stuff, but we just forget to laugh. If we can laugh and have joy and find opportunities to just love being together because we're fun to be around, our families will be happy.
Yeah, that's that power of positive emotion, isn't it? That it just opens us up to new experiences. It makes us think differently about the world. It really does help us to explore and therefore connect just through the simple act of laughter.
Yeah, it creates a resonance between people. When we laugh together, we resonate together. There's a different energy between us. It's a wonderful positive energy, and it draws people together. It also releases all the right neurotransmitters in our brains to actually create a neurochemical relationship, you know, a bond with the people that we're around as well.
A beautiful connection. And it's fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can talk about science, we can talk about fun, let's just have fun.
So therapeutic in so many ways. And Justin, having been here at the conference, what have you most enjoyed, or what's one key thing that you've learned or taken away, or a speaker you've really loved hearing from?
I love being around, I mean, my PhD was in positive psychology. So a conference like Happiness and Its Causes, this has been on my bucket list of conferences to speak at for years. And so it's just great to be here. I wouldn't pick any one thing. And everybody who attends a conference like this, there is something for everybody. And there's also stuff that you don't think that's for you that you suddenly discover is.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, I'd never looked at the world quite like that before. This has been so insightful. It's been eye-opening.
Despite being introverted to my core, one of the joys of this conference for me has been connecting with others. The late Chris Peterson, positive psychologist extraordinaire, encapsulated the importance of connection when he said simply, other people matter. And this has been a great reminder for me. It's easy to forget, particularly when technology allows us to so easily work from home or work independently and not physically be present in the same place with others, that it's really good for the soul to get out and talk to people, to connect with people, share stories, share knowledge, and simply just share the same physical space. I think Sue Langley, director of the Langley Group and wildly positive and connected person, really brought this home for me when I had a quick chat to her.
It's been a day filled with hugs. I've had wonderful people, students from over the last few years, just come up and go, oh, and give me a hug and say thank you and all that, which is just so lovely. And to hear some of the stories of changes that they've been through. You know, one lady, when she first came, she was so unsure of herself, and I've been a mum, I've been at home, I've got 7 kids, and this is all I do, and I want something new. And literally a couple of weeks ago, she had a couple of her paintings in an exhibition. And to hear her come to me and say, this is what I'm now doing, this is where I'm heading, this is what I'm going to do, and watch her light up and know that she has shifted and changed in the 8 months since I last saw her is amazing. So those sorts of things are good. And from a professional perspective, the learning and the thing that I'm grateful for is so many people who are really wanting to do something better in this place for themselves. They want to be a better person. They want to show up as a better mum, a better dad, a better friend, a better worker. And I think that's a pretty awesome place to be.
Whilst we might be helping teach others and supporting them, we get the benefit as well. You know, it's a complete win-win scenario.
Absolutely. And for me, that's the importance of practicing what I preach. I'm not saying I always get it right, but really trying to practice these skills every day so that I can genuinely and hopefully believably share with other people that this stuff works. You just have to do it.
You're actually a living, breathing example.
Try. Now and again, I fall off my cushion.
That's where the self-compassion comes
absolutely
in.
Absolutely.
So I hope you've enjoyed some time with me here at the Happiness and Its Causes Conference. I'm heading home with a very busy brain and a full heart, ready to put what I've learned into practice. Next week, we're back to usual programming with one of my favourite interviews so far. I'm talking to Dr. Madeleine Fernbach. Madeleine specialises in sexuality and identity, and she and I will be exploring the importance of identity and why being true to ourselves matters, and how this relates to transgender and gender diversity. Here's Madeleine.
People, when they come to see me, have almost always done some form of Google search to find out what it means and what trans means, and people get bombarded with YouTube videos of this is how you do things. I think one of the first things I have to do is to unpick all of that and say, you know what, this is your journey, this is your identity, this is your core. You don't have to do anything that anybody else does. You can do things your own way.
Can't wait to be back to share that episode with you. Thanks for listening and have a fabulous week.